God wants you to speak faith. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Speak Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for the Netcast today. We are going to be getting into some good things from the Word of God, so stay with us for this Netcast. I trust you've been enjoying the Netcast. We've been on Speak Faith TV's live stream now at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I encourage you to tune in. We're also on really, really early in the morning on the live stream as well. Of course, the live stream can be seen, as it says there on the screen, at https://sftv.io. Simple way to remember it is just SFTV for speakfaithtv.io. Input, output, okay? All you got to do is remember that very short address, and you'll be able to watch Speak Faith TV's live channel, and I encourage you to check it out because we've got some great speakers that are on the live channel. And, of course, on the speakfaith.tv Roku app, which is at speakfaith.tv. If you go to that web address, you get all the information of how to subscribe via your Roku to have the video-on-demand version of speakfaith.tv on the Roku channel. So, several opportunities to watch Speak Faith TV. And then, of course, WOFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. Wow, I am so excited that Word of Faith Radio is out there. All four channels available for you to hear the Word of God taught. The main station, the healing station. For those of you that are believing to receive your healing, I encourage you to listen to that every day. And then the music station for surrounding yourself with good music that's ministering the word of faith. And excuse me, then finally, clear my throat, then finally the KJV station, which of course is the KJV dramatized version. And it just airs and plays over and over and over again. So that's four stations in the network, Word of Faith Radio Network, that are preaching the uncompromising word of faith. Like I've said so many times before, God told me to proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the word of God. And all these different ways and methods of hearing the word ministered, they're all for you, okay? And they're all available for you to receive from the word of God. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. These last few netcasts, I think, have been really excellent opportunities to build on one topic to the next. We talked about the mechanism by which faith works. Faith works by words, okay? Then we talked about having the overcoming, winning attitude of faith. Now, today, I want to get into a new topic that's part of this topic, part of the same series of messages, but we're talking about having a goal, having an expectation. That's what your faith gives substance to, is a goal. So we're talking about setting a goal in faith, okay? And that's what we want to get into. In order to do that, let's open up our Bibles. Now, like I did last time, I'd go into my electronic Bible, which is eSword. And I encourage you once again, e-sword.net. That address allows you to download the eSword Bible for your Windows PC 100% free, absolutely free. Now, I'm not connected to eSword other than I'm a very happy and satisfied user. And I appreciate the brother that wrote eSword, which is written in C, by the way, which is a computer language. And I got a lot of respect for him writing this program and then releasing it free for people to just download and use. As a matter of fact, he even says, if you paid for it, somebody's giving you, you know, a rundown and It is not legal because he has released it 100% free. And the best place to get it is right from his website, e-sword.net. Okay? So in your e-sword, if you are with me on the computer, then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is what I want to look at. Now, actually, I'm going to use eSword's function of being able to go to the King James Plus, where we can hover over the Strong's number for a given word and see what that word actually is in the Greek. Because we're in the New Testament, we're talking about the Greek. So, let's look at Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, by faith, we understand that, by faith, that the elders obtained a good report. I'm trying to go to verse 3 too fast. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds, all the worlds, not just Earth, not just Venus, not just Mars, but all the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If there's a world out there on the other side of the galaxy somewhere, it was framed by the Word of God. Amen? So that the things which are seen, the things that we see, now, my phone is laying here. It just beeped here a second ago, and you probably heard it. It always wants to beep when I'm on the air. But this phone is a thing. It is made out of metal and glass, and it's in a leather case, okay? This phone is a thing that I can see, I can touch, I can hold it. But you know what? It is by means of faith that the elements that make up this phone came into existence to start with. God created everything with his faith, by means of his faith. So here's what I want you to understand through that. It shouldn't be odd to you that God's faith can affect anything we see, anything we touch, because God's faith created all of what we see by faith, or through means of faith. We understand that God framed everything through his faith. And then we found out before that Jesus said that we, as believers, can have the faith of God. We can use the faith of God. We can use his faith the same way he used his faith. And that's why he said, when you but pray, you say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it, the mountain, should obey you. See, it is your words that set in motion. Remember, we talked about this as the mechanism by which faith operates. So, we know that everything we see, all the elements, all physical reality, was framed by the Word of God. When he spoke light be, light was. When he created by his words, it came into existence. So now, we take his word, we put it in our mouth, and we speak to things, issues, problems, circumstances, things that are going on in our life, and we can set in motion the course of nature, or the cycle of natural events through our words. James chapter 3. We talked about that. Now let's go back. I think we've kind of set the scene now. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Now faith, this is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S is the way it's transliterated. It means persuasion, credence, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, abstractly constancy in profession or confession. That's all part of faith. By extension, the system of religious gospel truth itself. It is also translated assurance, belief, faith, and fidelity. Okay, that's the word faith. This substance that we're, or this, let's put it this way, this supernatural thing or element or power is what we call faith. It is the substance. The word substance here is the Greek word hypostasis. Now, that's a word and a half, isn't it? Hypostasis. It is the giving concrete essence, or I've heard it translated this way, the giving of substance to, the very next part of the verse, things hoped for. That's the Greek word elpidzo. And the word elpidzo here is transliterated E-L-P-I-Z-O, elpidzo. The D is a little kind of a, almost silent. It's just part of the word elpidzo. All right, it means to expect or to confide. It is better translated a constant, favorable expectation or anticipation. Okay? So now here's what I want you to see. Faith gives substance, makes concrete the thing that you are confidently expecting or anticipating. Now, Bible hope is not the kind of hope that people talk about in the world. You know, in the world, they'll say something like, well, now, Dr. Bill, I sure hope so. And really, there's no substance there. There's no real expectation there. They just kind of, they hope for the best. You've heard people say, I'm hoping for the best. Well, there's nothing to that. There's no substance. There's no power. There's no real expectation that it's going to come to pass. Now, if something good happens, they'll go, oh, isn't that great? You know, I sure was hoping something good would happen. Wasn't expecting it. You see what I'm saying? But I was a hoping, and when it happened, whoo, that was good. That's rare. Because that's not how faith works. That is not something that faith can give substance to. You see what I'm saying? It's not Bible hope. Bible hope is always a firm, confident, favorable expectation or anticipation. Now, I've used the example before of going to a coffee shop to meet somebody. If I tell you I'm going to meet you at the coffee shop at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going to have a cup of coffee, we're going to talk about whatever, you know, shoot the breeze a little bit. If you have confidence in me and my word, you are going to go to the coffee shop. You're going to get there right at 3 o'clock because you expect me to walk up at 3 o'clock and be there. Why? Because you have a confident, favorable anticipation or expectation that I'm going to be there, that I will actually be at the coffee shop at 3 o'clock. Why? Because I said I would. Okay? And if I'm a man of my word, I'm going to do everything in my power to be sure I get there. And then I'm there on time. Okay? And if I were to not be there, you'd be going, something's wrong. Because, man, Dr. Bill said he's going to be here. He's going to be here. Something must have happened. Because I know if he possibly could, he'd be here. See what I'm saying? It's not a wishy-washy kind of expectation. This is a firm, confident expectation that you can, in effect, bet the bank on. Okay? So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about Bible expectation. Bible hope. Okay? That's what faith gives substance to. Okay? I want you to see that. Because this constant favorable expectation, people often, they often misunderstand this kind of expectation. And they're not willing, listen closely, they're not willing to do what is necessary to have a constant favorable expectation. Now, I'm gonna rattle your theology a little bit here, okay? That's okay. You need your theology rattled every so often in line with the Word of God. And we read right out of the Word what we're supposed to do here, okay? So, this constant favorable expectation. How do I do that? Well, the constant favorable expectation, another good way to look at it is like a thermostat. A thermostat is a device that's hanging on the wall, in most cases. You go over to that thermostat and you set the thermostat, let's say you want to set it to 70 degrees. So you set the thermostat to 70. Now, when you set it, the room is not at 70 degrees. Maybe it's a hot day and it's higher than 70. So the air conditioner cuts in. The power cuts on to the air conditioner. And the compressor starts working. And the air starts flowing. And it's cooler air that gets pushed into the room. And then the temperature of the room starts lowering. And gets down to around 70 degrees. Why? Because you set the thermostat for 70 degrees. You set the expectation. Okay? Do you see where I'm coming from here? You've got to set the expectation for the power to be applied to bring that temperature down, in the case of the room, or to bring into manifestation what it is you're believing for. Okay? So, when you begin to apply this process of hope, a lot of people, now listen to this closely, a lot of people will say things like, "Now, Dr. Bill, you're going to go pray for that guy in the hospital, but don't get his hopes up." They'll say something like that. That is directly contrary to Scripture. Because the very thing you want to do is get his hopes up. His hope is his expectation to receive healing. His hope is what's going to be the goal setter that he wants to be healed. He wants to receive his healing. Now we have to apply the power to that expectation for the healing to be manifest. Do you see what I'm saying here? So if you take the approach of, "Well, I don't want to get his hopes up," then you have cut short the process by which this whole thing works. You've cut the very foundation out from under him. Because now he has no expectation of healing. If you don't get his hopes up, he has no expectation that anything's going to supernaturally occur to change his circumstance. And so it's just, "Woe is me. Nothing can help." You know, if I had believed this way, if I had thought this way, if I had acted that way 3 years ago when I was laid in the hospital, and they told me I had a week to live, 7 days, and then I was out of here. If I had believed that and not had the expectation that I was going to be healed and raised up and be well as I am today, that healing would not have taken place. Because faith gives the power, gives the substance to what I expect. And if I wasn't expecting healing, if I was expecting to die, then I'd have died. If I was in line with what the doctors were saying, I'd have died because that's what they told me was going to happen. You are going to die. And as a matter of fact, we can't help you. We're going to ship you home because we need this hospital bed for people we can't help. We can't help you, so you're going home. And you're going home to die. Now again, if I had believed that, if I had allowed that to set my expectation, then I'd have died. And I wouldn't be here talking to you. I wouldn't be here teaching you the word. I wouldn't be fulfilling my ministry. I wouldn't be doing what God's called me to do. See, this is what Satan tries to do. He tries to kick the foundation out from under you by taking away your hope, meaning your biblical favorable expectation. And if he can do that, he can get you in the ground. Satan comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. Now that's good King James, cometh not but for to. But it means he only comes to do these three things: kill, steal, and destroy. He's wanting to kill you. He's wanting to steal from you. He's wanting to destroy you. That's his purpose. And he doesn't come to do anything except those three things. He doesn't come to heal you. He doesn't come to bless you. He doesn't come to help you. Talking about the devil here. He just comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So you see, if I had bought into the expectation that he was trying to paint, then I'd have been in big time trouble. Okay? And it's the same way with you. Whatever your situation is, if you buy into the expectation that the world paints, if you accept the bad report, whatever that bad report is, oh, you can't meet your bills, you can't make your house payment, you're going to die, you have a terminal illness, whatever it might be. If you buy into that expectation, there's not a lot that we can do for you. Oh, but my brother, my sister, if you'll grab a hold of the Word of God and the promises of the Word of God that gives you a constant, favorable anticipation or expectation, woo, hallelujah, faith will give substance, give concreteness, give reality to that expectation, to that anticipation. Now remember, it is a constant, favorable expectation or anticipation. That's part of the definition. So if it is not favorable, it's not Bible hope. If it's not constant, it's not Bible hope. You see what I'm getting at here? There are a lot of people that get all worked up. Woo, hallelujah! I'm going to receive my healing. And then they get down. I'm not going to get it. I just know I'm so weak. I'm so tired. I feel so bad. I'm going to die. See, they start talking that. And that's not the expectation they desired. That's not a constant expectation. That's not a favorable expectation. So now they've gotten off track. Oh, but if you get a hold of it, and you get a constant favorable expectation. You know, the Word of God says that God has a desire for your blessing. He has thoughts toward you, and those thoughts are thoughts of success. Okay? So grab a hold of success. Grab a hold of blessing. Grab a hold of healing. Prosperity, whatever it is that your need is. Grab a hold of it. Don't let it go. Let it be favorable. Let it be consistent. And then you've got a foundation for your faith to work. Now, the hope and the expectation and the anticipation, that's not the be-all and end-all. That's just the foundation. That's where you start. Okay? I don't want you to get the idea that if you just believe this good thing's going to happen somehow, that it's just going to happen. No, the constant favorable anticipation or expectation is the goal setter. Now, how do you get there? You get there by doing what the Word of God says, returning God's Word to Him, speaking the Word of God out of your mouth. Let's say that you're weak. And the scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Okay? So you begin to say, follow the instructions. You begin to say, I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. Yeah, but I don't feel strong. Doesn't matter. I am strong. I am strong. See, I got a hold of the scripture that says, the Lord is the strength of my life. So I begin to confess, the Lord is the strength of my life. And then I'd feel weak, and I'd say, the Lord is the strength of my life. I'd try to get up when I couldn't get up out of a chair. And I'd say, the Lord is the strength of my life. The only thing that would come out of my mouth is, the Lord is the strength of my life. And I'm sure people around me got tired of me saying that. Particularly if I'm trying to get up out of a chair, and I'm pushing, and I'm trying, and I'm straining. Oh, the Lord is the strength of my life. And that's all I'd say. And I'm sure they looked at me and thought, poor boy. Bless his heart. He's just deluded himself, and there's just no hope for him. Well, you know what? That's been 3 years. I can get up. I can move. I can go. Hallelujah. I am strong. Hallelujah. My voice is strong. There was a point, you asked some friends of mine. I was talking like this. That's as loud as I could get. I don't have any problem now with being loud. Hallelujah. Like my wife says, you're always so loud. Yes, I am. The Lord is the strength of my life, and the Lord is the strength of my voice. Hallelujah. And my voice is proclaiming the word of God. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I just praise you that I'm the healed of the Lord. I thank you that you are the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what, we're out of time. I'm going to have to go. But before we do, I want to remind you that our email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at speakfaith.org. Now, some of my older tapes, you'll still hear the email address, drbill@wofm.org. That still works. Don't let that throw you. That still works. But this is the address that we're going with right now, drbill@speakfaith.org. They go to the same place. So don't let that concern you. Hallelujah. And then also our regular mailing address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. I tell you what, I enjoy hearing from you. I enjoy hearing how the program is ministering to you. It's a blessing to get to share the Word of God with you and have this venue that we can just share the Word and talk about these things. I love talking about the things of God. I love talking about what God is doing here in the world today. And by the way, toward that end, don't forget to go to fvc.org/building. We are going strong on that building program for Faith and Victory Church. And we're up now over $8,000 have been contributed toward the $60,000 that we need. So check out fvc.org/building. That will be a blessing to Faith and Victory Church, the church that I'm a member of. And I tell you what, I would greatly appreciate that. Just spread that address, fvc.org/building, all over the web. Join me again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Speak Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.